The Morning Ride, Talk Radio 570 KVI, Phil Vandervoort, your show host here. And the state of Washington is in the midst of reviewing convicted criminals, violent criminals that are petitioning for parole or probation in the state of Washington. It falls under the guise of a panel called the Indeterminate Sentencing Review Board. That's basically the one who reviews these sorts of requests for probation or parole for violent offenders in the state of Washington. And there's a very well-known case out of Spokane that has connections across the state of Washington, somebody who's applying for this, that I think any logical thinking person would say, no, this individual needs to stay behind bars and locked up. So we're going to talk about what's going on with the Indeterminate Sentencing Review Board with Spokane State Representative, Republican Jenny Graham, joining me here on The Morning Ride. Hello, Representative Graham. Appreciate you coming on with me to talk about this.
Well, thank you for having me on your show today to talk about this important issue.
Yeah, people that have lived around Washington State long enough will certainly remember the name, the Hillside Strangler, the phrase, the Hillside Strangler. I remember being a little kid, and not too long after the Ted Bundy case happened, this one was also in the news. And the guy that was convicted for this in the state of Washington was named Kenneth Bianchi in Spokane, known as the Hillside Strangler. And Kenneth Bianchi has changed his name in prison just a couple years ago, by the way, to Anthony D'Amato. So the name now that people need to be aware of is Anthony D'Amato, and he has petitioned the Washington State Indeterminate Sentencing Review Board for parole. And they heard some of this argument a month ago in June, and now they could be close to making a decision. What have you been able to discern from what's going on with this process, Representative Graham?
Well, so I got wind of this, and the first thing that I did was personally call the ISRB board to confirm, is this true or not? And they did confirm that they'd already had the hearing. From what I've been able to gather, they said that there would be a decision for whether he would be paroled posted online by July 23rd. And I also called because I was trying to see if there was video that the general public could watch. Could they watch this hearing? And again, from what I've seen, it says that it's closed to the general public. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to confirm that. They were supposed to get back with me and never did. But I do think that needs to be changed, because the public should have the right to, when these people are petitioning for release, they should have the right to know who this person is and see what's going on with the ISRB board. Oftentimes, this stuff happens in total secrecy and silence. This is an example of that, and I vehemently disagree with that. I think we need to be transparent when we're talking about these individuals possibly being released into our neighborhoods.
And then I hadn't realized that Kenneth Bianchi had changed his name, and it just happened a couple of years ago. Do you think that's a red flag for all of this effort to try and seek probation or parole with the Indeterminate Sentencing Review Board?
I, again, disagree with that, especially when you're looking at the heinous crimes that this man committed, kidnapping children and young women, torturing them, raping them, murdering them. To me, and that's a trend that we're seeing in this state, that there is more effort placed in trying to protect their identities, which means if this person moves next door to you, you have no way of knowing who they are, and the danger for somebody that's capable of doing the things that this man did is extreme for them to redo it, especially when you look at the fact that nobody's held accountable when these people are let out and something goes sideways.
Yeah.
Every single time, without question, it is the crime victim and their family that are left holding the bag for any medical bills, any burial costs that may happen, any fallout. Maybe they can't return to work, so they lose their job, they lose their house, they maybe lose a marriage, lose friends and acquaintances because of the trauma. I mean, the list just goes on for the life sentence without parole that crime victims and their loved ones are given.
Yeah. And to let people know, this individual, formerly known as Kenneth Bianchi, convicted in 12 murders from 1977 in California to 1979 here in the state of Washington. And I want to list some of the names of these women that were killed, that Kenneth Bianchi, now Anthony D'Amato, changed his name a couple of years ago, was convicted of killing. 19-year-old Yolanda Washington, 15-year-old Judith Lynn Miller, 21-year-old Elisa Kasten, 28-year-old Evelyn Jane King, a 12-year-old Dolores Ann Cepeda, 14-year-old Sonia Johnson, 20-year-old Christina Weckler, 18-year-old Lauren Wagner, 17-year-old Kimberly Diane Martin, 20-year-old Cindy Hudspeth, 22-year-old Karen Mandick, and 27-year-old Diane Wilder. And the idea of letting anybody out who has killed 12 people is just a non-starter. And so what do you suggest people do at this point based on what the Indeterminate Sentencing Review Board has been considering?
At this particular point in time, because their decision is expected by the 23rd of this month, it really would then fall on Governor Ferguson, because he can reject, if the ISRB board votes to give him parole, the governor can reject that. He has recently done that with Timothy Pauley, a mass murderer, and rightfully so. Once again, the people that are on this ISRB board, they're not accountable for, you know, anything that happens as a result of their decisions, which put our families in jeopardy. And, you know, I will also point out that Mr. Bianchi, in order to save his own pathetic life, took a plea deal for the death penalty to be off the table, and it was life without the possibility of parole in Washington State. It's consecutive sentencing, which is good because they should have to serve for each one of the murders or crimes they've committed. California, which is where they're saying that he would go to serve life sentences there, theirs are concurrent. So they lump all of these things together. So he's serving time for basically the same amount of time for all of these other crimes, unfair.
Yeah, one crime, adding to another crime in the sentencing phase. I've got a phone number here, and I think this is what we want to encourage people to do, is contact Governor Bob Ferguson's office. And the phone number, I'll give it for Bob Ferguson here, but for all the listeners right now, when you have a moment, grab a pen and paper, a pencil and paper, and we'll pass this along here for the remainder of the hour here on The Morning Ride. The phone number for Governor Ferguson's office, you want to call and tell him to block any possible probation or parole release of Anthony D'Amato, is the guy's current name, but formerly Kenneth Bianchi. And the phone number is 360-902-4111. So the 360 area code for Governor Ferguson's office, the phone number is 902-4111. And we will give you that phone number again a couple more times before we round out the hour. But that would be the best way for KVI listeners to make their impact known on the governor's office and make sure that Anthony D'Amato, a.k.a. Kenneth Bianchi, Hillside Strangler, remains locked up and does not get set free by the state review board on probation and parole. Is there anything else you want to add, Jenny?
Yes. The other thing I'd like to add is for your listeners to stay tuned. There's legislation that I am working on regarding truth in sentencing, because the bottom line is with these ISRB board hearings, it's the victims and their families that are pulled back in, you know, to have to deal with these hearings, which is so incredibly cruel for them. They don't get it. They have no attorney. The victim's advocate doesn't do much because they work for the ISRB board. So they, again, have to shelter all of the costs. And it's up to these crime victims' families to make the case for why this person shouldn't be released after the state already gave them a life without the possibility of parole sentence, which I did read was the case with Bianchi. Why it was switched to life, which in Washington state is about 13 and a half years, and they are eligible to apply through the Pardons and Clemency Board, the state board, at 7.5 years.
Yeah.
I think that when we look at these horrific crimes, these, if nothing else, there has to be truth in sentencing to protect our families, our loved ones, as a form of self-defense, you know, that these people are not allowed to roam in our communities to do this again and again and again.
Yeah. Now, Representative Graham, there's another case that you're starting to pick up on that happened in North Seattle, where we've got a 31-year-old woman named Kiara Sewell that was murdered. Kind of a boyfriend or a former boyfriend of hers is going to be charged with her murder. But the 31-year-old murder victim's mom is Tanika Tigner, and she is now trying to call on state lawmakers in the legislature in Olympia to get serious about not having somebody who had violent crimes in connection with the Blake decision, which was all about drug possession, getting out early, because that's what happened in the case of the man who's now going to be charged in the death of her, the murder of her daughter. So is this something that you can champion in the Washington legislature in Olympia?
Yeah, I did reach out to the mom. And again, your listeners may not be aware that this man already tried to stab his former girlfriend to death in her sleep. Mm-hmm. He had a 28-year sentence because of the Washington State Supreme Court legislating from the bench. This monster ended up getting 8 years of his sentence shaved off, and now he's gone on to murder her daughter. And the concern that I have, and this is, again, from 7 years of being on the Public Safety Committee, I'm now the ranking member for that committee, continuously, it is always about the criminal and them being portrayed as being the actual victim. It is absolutely true that in the state of Washington legislature, I have watched the silencing, censoring, and manipulation of these crime victims. You know, that's sometimes made me actually physically ill.
It does. Yeah.
It is so unfair. We are mandated under our constitution, state constitution, to treat the victims with the same amount of dignity and respect as the accused.
Representative Graham, yeah, we're running out of time. I will give everybody the information on Anthony D'Amato, a.k.a. Ken Bianchi, in the next segment. If you want to keep a serial killer in jail, that's what we're asking listeners to do this morning. I'll tell you how you can do that with a phone call to Governor Bob Ferguson's office. And Representative Graham, you and I will stay in touch, and we'll hope that either the Indeterminate Sentencing Review Board does the right thing and denies it, or if necessary, we get Bob Ferguson to deny it. Jay Inslee kind of ended up doing some of this at the tail end of his tenure as governor. He ended up doing the right thing on the Timothy Pauley case. So we'll hope that Bob Ferguson might be able to do the same. But I want to thank you for your time and this difficult subject, coming on to talk with me about it. And hopefully we can make everybody accountable on this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I will stay in contact and follow up with you as necessary. All right.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Representative Graham. Representative Jenny Graham, Republican State Representative from Spokane, here with me, Phil Vandervoort, on The Morning Ride.